as a just defining prayer, what is prayer and how it should be. Done, you see, prayer. Prayer is always done to somebody on whom we are fully confident exists, first of all. And second, we are confident about his competence. Two things. First, we should have full conviction that there is a God or there is a Guru or somebody whom is praying. And moreover, he is also confident that he is fully competent to give it. Both things. Then what sort of prayer will we succeed? One thing, just ask your heart what your heart wants. What you give out from your mouth. And what you think in your brain. Sometimes you want something, you think this is good, we should ask for. But heart wants something else. There is no unity. There should be unison between the heart and the tongue and the brain. The prayer which is comes out of the heart, that very thing comes out of the mouth, and that very thing we are fully confident intellectually, such like prayer is heart. You follow? Christ said, if you pray God, you may have it. Perhaps you may have it. There is some doubt. If you will ask God in my name, he may give you. But if you will ask me, you will surely have it. What does it mean? If you pray God, if you are not confident there is God, and when you are not fully calm, I mean fully full conviction that there is a God, and he is fully competent to give it, such like prayer, how can that be heard, first of all? And further, that prayer should go from your heart. Your brain and your mouth should express the same thing what is in your heart. They should not differ. Such like prayer will be heard. So when Christ said that if you pray God, perhaps he may give you. If you pray God in my name, he may give you. If you pray to me, you will give it. In the first, man is fully convinced there is Christ. He sees him. He is fully convinced that he is competent. So on that, when you have got full conviction, full faith in the Master about his competency and his existence, and that prayer comes out of your heart, that must be heard. They are saying the things of the Guru. If such like prayer you have heard, the God will catch you by the hand and say, all right, shall tell you what you want. You see? Tell you what you want. But why pagal nahi bano? Haan ka logon ka khyaal karo, kahan ki bhakti hai. You follow me what I say? Such like prayer God has. Common child, what does it say? You see, your heart, mouth and brain are one. You see? You have full conviction about his competency. Don't pay any attention, let us try. So such like prayer is heard, you see? If you have no conviction of the God, sometimes it so happens, child is insists to have something. Suppose there is poison, you see, and there is all sugar coated. If you ask mother, will she give you? With all your entity, you won't give. He may promise, all right, I'll give the child, so that's it, yours. But he won't give it. Sometimes it is seen that is not in your interest, ultimate interest. And father will not give you. You see? So what should you pray for? Sometimes we pray for certain things, we get it. And ultimately we repent while we pray. Oh God, take it away. other things happen. But you pray, the best prayer is, all right, to Master of God, give us that thing which is ultimately in our good. He knows what is ultimately in our good. You see? Such a prayer, you see, is the ideal prayer. He does not sometimes, he does give it when you say, but on the present he won't give it, mind that. And the very strange thing, whatever we have got now, we are rich or poor, some people die, some live, short lived, some are long lived, some are happy, some are in distress. Well, this is reaction of past karma, you cannot avoid it. See? For that we pray always. Why not pray God? Well, God, we want to meet you, you come to us. I'll drag us to you. So Master is the media. You see? God speaks to him. And if you pray him once, Master, what is it now that is you do? That is always the best prayer, which is generally heard. What sort of prayer which goes out of the heart and your tongue and your brain say the same thing. It's quoted by them. So such like prayer will be heard. For that, go into closet, you see, all alone. While sitting in the closet, you're in the closet and then sit within you, see what you want, to whom you are praying. You are fully confident about that, about his existence and competency, then that is your heaven. And that prayer also should go out from your heart. So always, I will give you an example. There is some woman married to somebody. But she is not a devoted wife. She is attached to so many others. Outwardly, she appears to be fully devoted to the husband. Wife and husband are two. They should two bodies and one soul. They should be one soul working two bodies. Husband and wife. The one who is devoted, that is, who is not devoted, outwardly she is married to somebody, but she always thinks of others, such like people we are, you see. We have no conviction, we are not devoted wholly and solely to God or to the Master. Here, there, we are just given here this side and that side and that side. The result is, some are devoted, but they want to have something. Well, give me this thing. That's second clause, you see. Master, husband will give generally to win his heart pleasure. But there are some, you see, you may put before her, I want such and such, and that second wife, sort of, kind of wife, you see, that is not given, she rejects. Now the third kind of wife, you see, she wants to have something she plays before her husband. If given or not, she remains devoted. And there is another kind, higher kind. She thinks, well, husband knows she is me daily, if I was, I've got no clothes to wear on, we've got this and that thing. And he sees and he does not give it. That's why you can say, if I am I am acceptable to him in my this ragged clothes, and what more is wanted? This highest form of the devoted soul. God sees our fate. Where we are rich or poor. You see? Whether we are happy or in distress, You see, when he sees, well, we are his children after all, isn't it? So highest form of devotion is like that. Second, he comes, he plays with, this is that what you want before him. He may or may not give, but you don't reject. Third kind is like that, who puts a demand before him, and if he does not give, he rejects. And the fourth kind is divine. The whole thing depends on what good devotion. The devotions are of different kinds. These are the things to be practiced, lived. In books there are references to that, not clear cut. Where I am putting for you see. What sort of devotion you would like? The highest form is like that. You have no your say in the matter. If you have say, you tell place before him. He may or may not give. And without that, you don't reject. This is good. So there are stages of saints too, of different levels. The highest form is like that. And that's the saint's way. That is the saint's way, I tell you. तो प्रेयर बड़ी अच्छी चीज है भाई मैं कह रहा था अच्छा भाई उन्होंने समझ तो लिया होगा बहुत सारे पढ़े लिखे होंगे कि चार किस्म की वॉइस होती है डिवोशन के लिहाज से एक तरह से पति तो किया है मन पति के लिए उसके दिल और जगह भटक रहा दिखाने के लिए चीज गौर समझे दूसरी वो है पति को कहती है ये चीज मुझे चाहिए अगर वो ना दे तो लड़ती है झगड़ती है तीसरे वो है अपने पति को पेश करती ये चीज चाहिए भाई दे ना दे फिर भी उसकी किसी को ऐसे ही रहे उसे कोई नाराजगी ना हो क्योंकि प्रभु ने जोड़ा और सबसे बड़ी ये है कि जब वो देखता मेरे कपड़े फटे मैं नंगी हूं और फिर भी वो नहीं देता अरे मैं नंगे कपड़े में ये फटे कपड़े उसको भाती हूं तो और क्या चाहिए ये सब से ऊंचा दर्जा डिवोशन का बात तो भक्ति हम सब करते हैं जब तक कई भक्त वो कहते हैं मुझे आज से खांड चाहिए इतना आटा चाहिए हमें एक घोड़ी भी चाहिए गाय भी चाहिए देखिए मैं ना ही जीता लंबो इतना मुझे तो चाहिए ये चीजें चाहिए अगर नहीं देते ये माल आप नहीं लीजिए चल ये लोअर दर्जे की भक्ति है माफ कर दो सेंस की भक्ति है वो कर रहा है ठीक बीमार है बहुत वो देख रहा है ना दिस हाईएस्ट फॉर्म ऑफ डिवोशन नाउ जज वेयर यू स्टैंड बातें तो हम मांगते बड़ी ऊंची हमारे सके कहां होगी मुद्दे होंगे हमको सत्संग में आती हुई कहां पहुंचती है बात हुई है तो प्रेयर बड़ी अच्छी चीज है वंस इट वॉज अबाउट 9:10 or 10 o'clock इन द विंटर डेज आई वॉज सिटिंग बाय माई मास्टर यू सी देयर डॉक्टर जॉनसन जूलियस जॉनसन वॉज आल्सो फ्रॉम देयर आईएनसी बोथ जॉनसन पुट क्वेश्चन टू द मास्टर इज इट नेसेसरी टू प्रे He replied from our level. He says, the disciples work to pray for higher things, not worldly things. He always demands, because he is not perfect yet. Unless he becomes perfect, he demands something, he must place before him. When we sit for prayer, we simply say like a restless way. No, not that. First pray, O God, help us, O Master, help us. I am at your door. Raise me up. This sort of prayer will help you. You have a boost when you sit for a prayer, oh, like a gymnastic, you're going to go up of our own strength. How can that? To sit at the door and wait and repose all hopes in Him, such heart of prayer will help you. For you stand in the door and call you, come in please, come in please. You don't leave the door. How can you enter? You pray and wait. Leave the door. I'm standing there, all right, come on, come on, come on. Don't leave the door. How can you enter? These are things to be understood properly and lived. All these things I have placed before you, perhaps most of you do know about that. But how you live, that's the point. So such heart of prayer will help you. He is your father, you are his child, you go straight to him. And also, if God, the Master is also your father, go to his straight, no reservation. Like a child go to those who are children, you see. Suffer little children to come unto me. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, you see. So I'm just talking about true love. What it is. Definition of love is to give away your heart to somebody and go around without any heart. You see? To be somebody's slave, heart and soul. Disciplinary. And how it starts by implicit obedience to the Master's commandments. If he love me, keep my commandments. Sometimes we are in love, we love the Master, you see, but sometimes we consider me to be in a, what you say, in a intoxication of love. He can say, I am the one, I have two spirits that he wants to dominate over the Master. This is no true love, you see. Master may not, take conviction or say, but he is simply. He loves who have got implicit obedience, without any why and wherefore, you see. I give an example of one Azad. He was a servant of Emperor Humayun. He was the Emperor of India, you see. He loved his servant very much. Other courtiers, ministers, asked, King, well, how is it you love your servant the most, not us? He said, I love him because he considers me, takes me as a king. And he said, don't we take you as a king? He said, no. Sometime after, you see, while the court was going on, you see, he sent for one cup, which are studded with emeralds and rubies and other things, very costly, with other jewels. He ordered one by one all the ministers, I ought to break it. So it's large, they're very valuable thing, one of the wonders of the world, he should not do it. One by one, everybody, very politely, of course. Then he ordered the servant standing by, oh yes, all right. Break it. Without any hesitation, with a stick, you see, broke it. Then he made the stunt for it. Well, Ayaz, don't you think you've broken a very valuable thing? He said, Lord, I take your word more valuable than this cup. Then he told him, don't you think he's taken me as a king? And you don't. This is one of the things, you see, complete, implicit obedience with intellect and no interference. So I gave other examples too. one was Hare Krishna, the sixth, seventh guru, eighth guru of the sixth lineage. He was one passing by in the garden, and his guru was passing by in the house. So his coat, you see, just stuck some jasmine flower that was broken. Man was becomes very subtle by this. He feels, even the plant has got life. He just shudders and asks, what is it? And that has been wanted. All will go composed. Then all his life he went like that. Never is it. His coat flow like that. Then I gave an example, you see, of another instance of Guru Ram Das. First he was called Jetha by name. So Master ordered to prepare some stages, you see, batches. So all the people started, you see. Then he sent once, twice, thrice, you see, no good, break it again, arrange another batch. Then he said, oh, this place is no good. Just take to some other place. So continued things, some left it after breaking up, constructing 5, 10, 20 like that. All others left, only one man remained, and he was Jetha, who was called Ram Das later on. So he continued, you see, for 70 times, more than 75, and people approach him, look here, your master's become old, over 100 years old. His intellect is not, what is the good of constructing and then demolishing it? Then he wept, see, his master has got all wisdom, all consciousness. If he orders me, go on doing this, this is my work, you see. That's all I have to do. So he was just installed as the Guru Ram Das Guru, as a Guru, you see. So there are so many things, you see. The lover always considers, you see, his beloved to be everything. It's a kind of Lala one. Manju was very fond of Lala, you see. And there were Khilafat in Mohammedan, of the kings are there, the senior most kings are considered, they are the Khilafat, Khalifa of God, the prototype of God on earth, they take it. That there was vacancy. And the people asked Manju, who should be installed there? He said, why not Lala should you put there? My beloved, you see. So love is love. It is no lust. Minor. This is love, charity. The condition is just like a man going with a new heart. From heart and soul he becomes the slave of somebody. Implicit obedience in his thought. To think him everything like Yana is told him. Guru Ram Das, like Guru Ram Das, or he ought to do it. And no question of why we are doing it. After he knows everything. So once I wrote to my master, they should be respectful love. Sometimes in love we transcend all bounds of respect. So I wrote a letter to my master, you see. I wrote him in my great father, gift from you, and that is, give me, you see, grant me a gift of love, of true love, which should be with the bounds of respect. He got that letter, those who were there, they said, when he read that letter, his eyes were beating with tears, and that put that letter out in there. I want such like love. So respectful love is what brings forth fruit. Yes? Love is good, but that should be the bounds of respect, implicit obedience. Just when man has lost his heart, he goes on like anything. just like he should know. You know what is this love, no? We read in books. This is a hazy idea, I would say, of love. Hazy idea. How this comes up, go and ask somebody who has lost his heart, that heart, who has given up his heart. Nobody can give right in these things. Cannot express in words. To be somebody's heart and soul, everything. That's the ultimate end of love. That is why I say God is love and love is God, and the way back to God is also true love. Such like love when dwells, he becomes one with the Lord. As Guru said, hear ye all, whether you belong to one country or the other, or one religion or the other, I tell you the truth. Those who love, they only can come to God. And this is what Christ has also said, those who do not know love cannot know God. And what sort of love? Love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. That is what is meant, what I was explaining before. So love is love. God is love and love is God. So the only way back to God is through love. Now just compare where you stand. You are not starting by obedience, having obedience. If you love me, keep my commandment. We have not started there yet. We always, why we are for this and that thing, if we have somebody start, you get something, then you begin to why with the master, something overruling. Then you do it for the progress. When you consider he will make you that, saint will make you a saint. King will make you a king. You will never suffer children to be ministers. You like his sons to be kings, not ministers. So every saint would like to become a saint. Not below that. This is for him. He sees where Guru Amar Das chose Ram Das. These saints choose, you see. They select. It is they. Not the people they don't choose by giving votes, you see. So that is what is love. The more you progress that way, the more. That starts with implicit obedience. And that what is where we are wanting, you see. So praying is very key. Love knows service and sacrifice. And never dreams of what he has done, you see. When love knows no burdens, so God is love and love is God, and the way back to God is also through love. And that is innate in our soul, innate in our soul. Simply that is distributed. So many to the physical body, to the children, to the outward thing. If you withdraw from all of them and concentrate to your own self within you, then that will sprout from you, see. Within you, what you say. You will be overwhelmed with love, you see. It does not, you see, grow in fields that are sold at the shops. You see, it is to be developed. It is already there, only by the internal attention, so many other things dividing our attention. That is why we have lost all this grace. We should concentrate, be down from outside, from our physical body and environment. When you come to our own self, well, you are love itself, you see. That will always direct it to our self.
Good evening and welcome to the Satsang from Master Kripal Singh. The talk you just heard was a combination of two morning talks. The first one was titled True Prayer, and it was given on 8 November 1968, and the second was True Love, given on 9th November 1968, and our reader this evening is Rick Casey.
Hello, I will be reading from the book God Man, as it is published on the Ruhani Satsang website, picking up near where I left off last time towards the end of chapter 27. All our worldly ties and connections are of an ephemeral character. Some leave us in poverty, some in adversity, some in illness. A few may stay beside us all through life, but they too fall away at the time of death. But Satguru is the real friend who always overshadows the disciple and keeps his protecting arms around him wherever he may be. He stands by him at the time of his death and even goes along with his spirit as a guide to the other worlds. O Nanak, snap asunder all ties of the world and find some friendly saint. World attachments shall leave thee even in life, while the other shall stand steadfast unto death and beyond. A soul awakened to reality by a Satguru cannot be a prey to the messengers of death, but must go with the radiant form of the Master, which comes to receive it when it casts off its physical raiment. Kabir Sahib tells us that gold does not rust, nor steel eaten by worms. So a disciple of the Master, no matter how good or bad, never goes to hell. God attracts not rust nor steel the worms. The disciple of the Master will never go to hell. The Master is the Master indeed, both in this world and the next, and helps a jiva in both the worlds. There is no greater friend. I have taken hold of my Hari. He is my sustainer and is ever with me. He is a guardian angel in both the worlds. For Almighty and ever merciful is the Satguru. I have with me Satguru who helps me in all my needs. Blessed is the Satguru who reveals God to me. There is no friend greater than Satguru. He is the protector here and everywhere. If and when a jiva comes across a Satguru, he may thank his God, for the Guru underwrites life eternal for him. Full of compassion as he is, he unhesitatingly helps him through difficult situations and without the least thought of obligation. Maulana Rumi says of him, "Kind-hearted and selfless is the friend. He helps in dire difficulties and hard times." The Guru is pledged to help the helpless. Through sheer compassion, he extends his saving grace to all humanity. His company is the most beneficial. With Satguru by his side, one may successfully defy millions of enemies. When Guru is thy shield and buckler, millions of hands cannot strike thee down. Truly blessed are the jivas who have had access to the charmed precincts of the Sadguru, for they have nothing to worry about here or hereafter. The world bows to him in adoration. Regions divine anxiously await his advent. For perfect is he who is in touch with the perfect. How very, very fortunate are the disciples who are under the shadow of his holy wings. In their lifetime and beyond, they march with leaps and bounds on the grand trunk road of spirituality. Chapter 28, Master and the Controlling Power. Satguru is the fountainhead of grace. Strange are the ways in which he works his grace. With just a single kindly look, he may bless a jiva forever. He showers nam in abundance. Should he, in his pleasure, place his blessed hand on the head of a jiva, the latter wishes for no other blessing. In the twinkling of an eye, the jiva penetrates through the dark veil of ignorance and experiences the power of his grace, the divine light and the divine music, both of which become manifest to him. The contact with these at once wipes off the otherwise indelible karmic impressions of many ages, and the jiva attains life eternal, full of grace and peace. My friend has blessed me with peace, for he has manifested the sound current within. My friend has shown God to me by a touch of his hand. With the touch of the Guru's hand, God has blessed me with the pearl of Nam. The sin of ages has vanished. Such is the power of Nam. Rare indeed are the jivas who are fortunate enough to be blessed like this by the Master's hand. Worship one who has the treasure of God with him. Blessed is the jiva who has the Master's hand on him. Blessed indeed is the touch of the Master's hand, which one in millions is fortunate enough to get. In all the wide world, the touch of the Master's hand helps the jiva in his trials and tribulations, and he becomes free from care. The entire world bows and bends at his feet in silent adoration. He can freely go to the various divisions of the creation at his sweet will and pleasure, for the grace of the perfect Master makes him perfect as well. With his hand over one's head, his power extends on all sides. His grace opens the way to the spiritual realms, ending all ills. Chapter 29, Surrender to the Master. Surrender to the feet of the Master means to merge one's individual will in the will of the Master, and to completely place oneself at his mercy. It is the surest and easiest way to escape from all cares and anxieties. It comes only when a disciple has complete faith and confidence in the competency of the Master. This type of self-surrender is like that of a completely helpless patient who, trusting in the skill of a competent surgeon, places his life in his hands and quietly submits himself to his knife and lancet. Or it may be compared to the trust given by the hopelessly lost traveler in the wilderness to the forest ranger who finds him and leads him out. In exactly the same way, the work of the master does not consist in merely teaching the theory of paravidya, science of the beyond, but it includes the practical demonstration of results of spiritual experiments and help and guidance through all the disciples' difficulties. A true friend does not only give theoretical lessons in how to escape from mind and matter, he helps in effecting the escape itself. Suppose, for instance, that a person has to go abroad. He will begin by making inquiries as to the various means of transportation available, land, sea, or air, as he may choose. After he makes his choice, he enters the plane, ship, or train, and, relying on the skill of the operator, takes his seat comfortably without the least anxiety. Should the ship flounder or the plane be caught in a storm, it is the duty of the captain or pilot to take every possible care to save the conveyance along with the passengers for whom he is responsible. In exactly the same way, an aspirant for spirituality has, after careful investigation, to decide first about the spiritual worthiness of a master, and then to submit himself wholly and solely to his authority and direction without any mental reservations whatever, for he alone knows the twists and turns of the spiritual path and is in a position to act as an unerring guide. The term surrender therefore means that a disciple should have full confidence in the skill and competence of the master and scrupulously follow and act on his instructions, whatever they may be, whether in conformity with his own reason or not, for his reason being limited may be faulty or fall far short of the depth or prove uncertain. It is not for him to question the propriety of the master's commandments. He must learn, like a soldier, to obey his command without knowing the why and wherefore of things. For the master knows what is best and most suitable in each case. One must, therefore, obey the master literally and straightaway engage himself in the sadhan or spiritual practice and discipline as it may be laid down for him. This is the only way to spiritual success. There is no other. In this context, we have the testimony of Hafiz, a great Sufi poet of Persia, who declared, "Dye thy prayer carpet in wine, should the master so desire. For he is not ignorant of the turns of the highway ahead." When a disciple entrusts his all to the master, he becomes carefree, and the master has a necessity to take over the entire responsibility, just as a mother does for her child who does not know what is good for him. As the disciple develops in his sadhan, he fits himself to receive more grace from the master. Under his kind and benign influence, the disciple begins to thrive from day to day, and all his wishes are fulfilled without the least trouble on his part. Sages and seers cry from the housetops, ye seekers after peace, high to a master saint. In Discourse 17, verse 66 of the Bhagavad Gita, the Blessed Lord Krishna, as a world teacher, announces, abandon all duties and come to me, the only refuge. I will deliver thee from all sins. Grieve not. In the Holy Quran, we have likewise, whosoever surrenders his purpose to Allah while doing good, his reward is with his Lord, and no fear shall come upon him, neither shall he grieve. And in the Bible, Isaiah 1:25, and I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy sins. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Also, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Self-surrender is not an easy task. To accomplish it, one has to recede back to the position of an innocent child. It means an entire involution, a complete metamorphosis, supplanting one's own individuality. It is the path of self-abnegation, which not everyone can take. On the other hand, the path of spiritual discipline is comparatively easy. Self-effort can be tried by anyone in order to achieve spiritual advancement. It is no doubt a long and torturous path as compared with the way of self-surrender, but one can, with confidence in the Master, tread it firmly step by step. If, however, a person is fortunate enough to take to self-surrender, he can have all the blessings of the Master quickly, for he goes directly into his lap and has nothing to do by himself for himself. He is then the Master's elect, his beloved son, the Son of God himself. But very rarely, even a really blessed soul may be able to acquire this attitude. Should the Lord so ordain, then, O Nanak, a person may take the path of self-surrender. Blessed indeed is one who surrenders at the feet of the Satguru. Standing near truth, he revels in truth and easily merges in truth. O Nanak, it is by the Lord's grace that one may meet such a Guru Mukh. In the scriptures, one finds a large number of advantages from adopting this path. All ills and sorrows vanish by surrender at the Master's feet. In the world of joys and sorrows, he alone escapes who gains the feet of the Satguru. A Gurumukh stands apart from the three gunas and is acceptable to the Lord. In self-surrender, the mind becomes purified, but chanting of God's name alone does not help. For the world's good do those come who thirst for a sight of him. He who surrenders makes a clean escape with desires all fulfilled. All joys lie with Satguru. bow then at his feet. Blissful is the very sight of him. With no regrets, chant paeans unto him. I see the world being consumed in the fire of egoism. Escape thou by surrender to the Master, and then attend to true Shad. I surrender to one who alone is the cause, both material and efficient. His grace has shown the native land in the light of the moon. With a life impulse from a perfect master, Ram Nam rests in me. O Nanak, with a surrender to the master's feet, the Lord himself becomes merciful. In Kali Yuga, Nam lies hidden everywhere, and the Lord in fullness pervades. But the precious Nam becomes manifest in that surrender to the Master. With the blessings of the Guru, one becomes fearless of death and is successfully ferried across the sea of life. He happily conquers death and never goes to hell. O Nanak, he is saved by surrender, for Hari just takes him into his care. Having been accepted by the acceptor, all his acts become pure. O Nanak, never will he go to hell. Such is the gift of surrender. None but the elect engage in the devotion of Nam. O Nanak, with surrender at the Master's feet, one never comes and goes. The dispeller of ills and Lord of all is attained through surrender to a sod, and the tumultuous sea of life is ferried across quickly. When a jiva surrenders to the Satguru, the Lord takes him under his own protection and grants unto him the blessings of Sahaj, eternal happiness. All doubts and fears now disappear, and he comes to his own real self. Chapter 30, The Words of the Master. When a person comes to a master, he must come with an open-minded outlook, since he knows that all his actions hitherto, individual as well as social, have not so far secured him salvation. He should bid goodbye to them and ask the Master for his instructions in the matter of spiritual practices. Having obtained his instructions, he must then follow them scrupulously, and that alone should constitute his sole devotion. Whatever the Master ordains, that must be taken as gospel truth, no matter whether it stands the test of mere human reason or not. Our intellect and our reason, after all, are limited and cannot reach the depths to which the Master penetrates. He knows the why and wherefore of his instructions, and like a fully responsible field marshal, issues his commands. We must therefore learn to obey him implicitly, like a true soldier, and do what he bids. Hafiz, in this context, says, "Dye thy prayer carpet in wine, if thy master so wishes, for he is not ignorant of the turns of the highway ahead." Mere lip loyalty to the master never pays. The master wants full devotion to what he says, for therein lies the ultimate good of the disciple. In the gospel, it is emphatically declared, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." John 14:15. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1:22. Again, mere chatter about spirituality will be of no avail. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Matthew 23:2-3. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20. As the body without the soul is a dead carcass, so talking, if it be alone, is a dead carcass. St. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. 1 Corinthians 13:1. The same may be said of darshan, or having a look at the Master. It may give you temporary peace and quietness of mind, but the moment you go away, the mind begins to run riot again and reigns supreme over body and soul. Thus, nothing but doing and performance count on the path of the Master's. The Master's words sink deep into the heart. One can hardly think of not following him. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. John 15:7-8. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7:20. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Matthew 13:23. The world is compared to a harvest, and men at harvest regard nothing but the fruit. Accept the Master's words as gospel truth, and harvest well the fruit of life. The words of the Master cannot be detached from the Master. It is from the abundance of the heart that the tongue speaks. The Master is embedded in the Word, and his words are expressions of what is in him, that is, word, life impulse, and power. How then can the two be separated from each other? His words undoubtedly pierce through the hearts of the aspirants, and none other can know the sweet pangs from which they suffer. As longing for the Lord grew keen, words of the Master pierced my heart. The mind alone knows the pangs. Who else can know another's pangs? The more one gives weight to the Master's words, the more he grows in grace. True devotion to the Master consists in acceptance of and doing what he commands. Guru Ram Das exhorts us that the thought of the Master should ever be a companion, no matter what we may be doing. The Master is hidden in his words, and his words are in fact the real Master. Holy is the word of the Master, and through it one gets the elixir of life. for acceptance of his words gives one immortal life. Remember ever the word of the Master, for herein lies real devotion and truth. Act in conformity to the Master's word. This constitutes contemplation aright. Well, I have come to the end of my time. I will stop here. I was reading from the book God-Man, chapters 27 through 30. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Rick, for reading for us. There were 58 people at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Love knows service and sacrifice. Love beautifies everything. Love knows no burden. Love knows giving, not taking.